Greetings and welcome to Beyond Salvation. I'm excited to have you here today, and I'm excited to see what we're going to learn about today. So I'm hoping that you are too. I'm glad you're here. Grab a cup of coffee and maybe a Bible and a pen. You might find something fun to write down. So let's get started. Welcome back. It's been a little minute since I did an episode, but today I'm back, so we're going to get going again. So last time we covered Ruth, and we talked about how Ruth chose to follow Naomi, and we talked about how that looked like our options for salvation and our choices for making for salvation. So today we're going to dive into the second part of Ruth. Again, it's only four chapters. So if you haven't read Ruth, it's a great read. It's a quick read, jam packed full of spiritual truths though. So it's a pretty amazing book. So now where we're going to take off from today, they are now in Bethlehem. They've traveled back from Moab to Bethlehem. Ruth has followed Naomi there. And once they get there, of course, they do not have husbands or anyone to take care of them. So they got to figure out how to take care of themselves. So what happens is that Ruth offers to go out and glean the fields. It's during harvest, barley and wheat harvest. It's just the beginning of barley harvest time, and they're getting ready to harvest the grains. Now there is a thing that they do, in the Bible times called gleaning. And that is where they would go into the fields behind the servants of the master of the field. So whoever owned the field would have workers. They would come in, they would harvest the fields, but they always left some of the grain in the field so that those people who didn't have money to buy food could come in and glean the field. So they would actually come in and pick up like basically the scraps, and they would be able to then have wheat and stuff to make bread and to be able to eat. So it was kind of a built-in way for the people who didn't have money to be able to still get food and eat. So what happened is that Ruth is in, she's working in the field, and she's obviously doing a mighty fine job because the master of the field, Boaz, notices her, and he asks his servants about this woman. Who is this woman? And they say, oh, that's the woman who came back with Naomi from Moab. He's like, oh, okay. You know, he's got his eye on her. And he's watching her. So not only was she beautiful, but she was also a hard worker. And so that really caught his eye. And so then he advises his servants to go ahead and actually let her glean the field. Not only does he want her to go ahead and glean, he already tells her, you stay here. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. And I've told my workers not to harm you, and so you're safe here, which was a big thing, right? A woman by herself could easily be attacked or have trouble come upon her. So he's protecting her already. She hasn't even done anything except come to his field and glean in his field and show that she is a good worker. So he is telling his servants, not only do I want you to protect her, let her glean wherever she wants, do not reprimand her for anything, and on top of that, leave a little behind for her. So he's having them pull out what they're actually harvesting and leave it lay there for her to glean to where she's coming up against it. So he's really taking care of her and really taking interest in her. And so she goes home and she tells Naomi all of the things that that Boaz has said to her and how he has taken notice of her. And so some time goes by, and then I'm going to go ahead and read in Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Wise words, if ever spoken, right? It shall be then he lies down that you shall notice a place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." So Naomi does everything that Ruth does everything that Naomi tells her to do. And what is interesting about this is that Ruth going and laying at Boaz's feet is actually a marriage proposal. She's actually putting herself at his feet and asking for a covenant with him. She's asking him to take her on as his wife and take care of her. And in doing so, he would also be taking care of Naomi. And so what he does is really interesting because he's asleep. He falls asleep, and then she goes and lays herself at his feet and lays at his feet. And she doesn't do anything. She doesn't, you know, touch him, you know, like there's nothing going on. She just lays at his feet. Well, at some point during the night, he is startled and he looks down and he's like, "Who is that?" Right? And she says, "It is your servant Ruth, your maidservant Ruth." And so then at that point, she says, "Cover me with your cloak," meaning I want to be in covenant with you. I want you to cover me and protect me. And he does so. And so in doing so, he is accepting her proposal. However, there is one other kinsman redeemer who actually is ahead of him that is by law able to redeem Naomi before he can. And so in order for that to happen, he has to go and he has to have a conversation with this gentleman. So that's what he does the next day after he gets her out of there and nobody sees her. And he, you know, lets his servants know that, you know, not to say anything if they did see anything. And so the next day he goes to town and he goes to the city gate, and that's where the men did business, right? They would do their business and sell land and all that kind of stuff there at the city gates. So he finds this kinsman redeemer and he tells him that Naomi needs to sell some property. And so the guy's like, "Well, I'll buy it," you know, like, and so then he works the words around so that the guy doesn't want to do it, because if he does, it will interfere with his inheritance. And so he words it in a way that he ends up getting to marry Ruth without any complications from this gentleman. So he really wanted him, and it was all above board and, you know, nothing sneaky or anything, but just in the terms of the way he was wording it and everything, it comes about that Boaz gets to marry Ruth. Now, what I find is really interesting about this story, and again, I love how so many things in the Old Testament point to New Testament truths, and Ruth is just jam-packed full of them. But today we're going to focus on the covenant part, and this is what's really cool and what really jumped out at me in this story is Boaz was taking care of Ruth even before Ruth asked for the covenant. He was there for her. And how much like the Lord is that, right? The Lord is looking out for us and he is drawing us to him and he is being kind and providing. One of the names for the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And he provides before we're even aware. Like, there are times in my life that I can look back before I was a Christian where the Lord was taking care of me and he was doing things in my life and he was teaching me things and drawing me in ways I didn't know that it was him. Now I can look back at those times and go, "Huh, that was God. That was God. He protected me there. He saved my hiney right there." You know, like I can see those times where he was in it and saved me. So to move on, Ruth then asks Boaz to marry her. Very 21st century of her, right? And Boaz then does that. And so he, in fact, covers her with the corner of his cloak and to say, "Yes, that I'm going to do that." So here we are. They're in this covenant. So what I'm thinking, this is like so cool. We talk about in the church a lot about like going to the altar and leaving your cares at the altar and leaving your worries and your burdens and everything at the altar. But I think this is a picture of coming into covenant with the Father. And while it was Ruth coming into covenant with Boaz in order for to be redeemed by her kinsman redeemer, which is another thing that we call salvation, right? Salvation is being redeemed, and Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And so we can then go to Jesus's feet. I think about Mary at the feet of Jesus, right? And we can go and set ourselves at the feet of Jesus and ask him to come into covenant with us. And really, it's about asking for that salvation, like, become my Lord and my kinsman redeemer. And the Lord will do so. He loves us so much that he's taking care of us ahead of, before we even ask. Once we ask and we are, you know, in covenant with him, he's all the more so is he going to be taking care of us, right? So think about this as, let's present ourselves to Jesus as a bride. We are to prepare ourselves as the bride of the church. And the way we do that is we get into the word, we read the word, we worship, we come into covenant with the Lord, and we ask for that marriage covenant with Jesus. And I would say, you know, say the words, like, ask the Lord to come into covenant with you, and he will. So when you think about that, lay at his feet, he's going to cover you up. He's going to accept you. He's going to provide for you, that Jehovah Jireh, because he loves us. He loves us so much that he put into plan before he even created the world. The plan of salvation was already there. He already knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. He already knew that he was going to flood the earth. He already knew that Solomon was going to become king, and then he was going to lose his kingship and he was going to give it to David. And he knew that David was going to be a man of his heart. And he knew, you know, that Ruth and Boaz were going to get married. And he knew that we were going to need salvation, that we were going to need that salvation. He set everything into motion before he even created the earth. And that's how much he loves us. That is how much he loves us so much. He had a plan before we even knew we needed a plan, but he knew, right? And he created that. So it's worth the risk to put yourself at Jesus's feet and ask him to provide for you and to come into covenant with you. He will say yes. And when he does, your life will change. Now, is everything going to instantly, miraculously become perfect and you're never going to have another sorrow or woe in your life? I wish I could say that was true, but it's not, right? We're still going to have to live in the world, but we can live in the world with peace and joy and happiness because we live with the King, that because we are children of the Most High, because we can live in that. No matter what we're going through, we can still have joy and peace in our hearts because we know who we belong to and we know that he loves us so much and is taking care of us. For us, that covenant can give us that joy and peace to be able to manage through life. Over the last few months, I've been going through some tough times, and I've often thought to myself, I don't know how a person could do this without Jesus. Like, how could somebody do this without having that Jesus, having Jesus right there and being able to talk to him and work it out and get through that. So in the end, Ruth marries Boaz, and she gives birth to a son named Obed. He happens to be the father of Jesse. Jesse, in turn, then is the father of David, who then becomes king, who is in the lineage of Jesus. Had Ruth not followed Naomi in the beginning, the very first chapter of the book of Ruth, had Ruth chosen to go back to her family, she would have missed out on the blessing of being the great, 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 about 28 greats or not 29 greats back there, grandmother of Jesus. And I just think that's amazing how those things that happen in our life change, that changes so many things. Like if you, I'm kind of a little bit of a Trekkie fan, Star Trek and the back in the day, the older stuff. And I think it's pretty amazing. They always talk about the time continuum and you can't change things and things like that. But if you think about how that little decision, though we look at it now, it was a huge decision and it probably was a hard decision at the time. But had she not chosen to do that, she could have missed out on that blessing of being Boaz's wife and being able to follow on through all that. And so I just think it's amazing how blessed Ruth was for loving and choosing the way she did. She loved Naomi with all of her heart, and she chose to follow Naomi because she loved her and because she loved her God. And so because of that, she followed and she made the choice to go to Bethlehem with her, and in that got to meet Boaz, and Boaz fell in love with her and married her, and then she was able to have a son. And it just is amazes me sometimes about how everything kind of works together, but also how the pictures of scripture in the Old Testament in Ruth, before we even know about Jesus, before we even know about salvation, before we know any of the stuff that's going to happen later on in the Bible, God has a plan and he points to that plan time and time and time again. We know that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament times were set up and in motion for us to see our need for Christ. And if you read the Bible with that thought, the Old Testament changes everything. Everything that you read in the Old Testament points to the need for Jesus or to the actuality of Jesus coming. And so it is amazing to read with a different thought, with a different perspective, with a different view in mind when you're looking for those little pointers to Jesus and the little pointers to salvation and the little pointers to the choices that we make and the little pointers to all of the things that are going to be happening in the future when Jesus comes and dies for us. So that's just a little thought that I wanted to leave. It does seem like a small choice today, but it can lead to amazing blessings in the future. So think about that as you're making choices. Every day we make millions of choices, I think, hundreds at least. And so when you're making those choices, think about how can this affect the kingdom? And how can this be brought to light for God in the future? I just think that's an amazing, sometimes those things we do aren't that big deal. They're not that much, but they can really, really bless us in the end if we make the right choices. So pray about the choices, ask the Lord what he wants you to do, and then follow through. And we'll see you next time.